Christian greetings to each one. I'm glad to be here with you again these days and sharing this important work in the life of the church. One of the songs that we sang, the last phrase, I believe, was the first song, said, "Oh, Father, lead us now and evermore." It kind of stood out to me. We're looking for the leading of the Lord, of course, in a specific way as it relates to the service this evening and the nomination, the giving of names that have been laid upon hearts. But it's not only about tonight, it's about forevermore. And so we come saying, "Oh, Father, lead us now and evermore." The congregation preparing for an ordination. There's a saying that introduces the five P's, and it has to do with preparation mostly. It says, "Proper preparation prevents poor performance." And I think we can relate to that. That can relate in many ways. And used many times in circumstances. You have known the times maybe in your life with when you have not properly prepared, and you go back and say, "If only I would have had more or done more preparation, it would have probably been could have easily been a total different outcome." But I think of it as we have a store at home, and as it relates to preparing properly, it's so much more. It becomes more and more important to get things done before the store opens. You can do so many more. The moves can be made in much more of a specific way. Time better spent, and preparation for things taken care of because of the lack of other things that come when the store is open for business hours. The people, of course, needing the attention, the phones ringing, and so on. So I have learned in a work-related way how getting things done early, properly preparing, prevents us from maybe a customer walking up a little bit later and saying, "I don't have it ready yet." Where there would have been time, we realized if we would have been there at the right time, preparing, there would have been a much better outcome. And so this can be used. We probably use it in relation to communion, proper preparation. In our self-examination meetings, we talk about preparing properly. And the end of it, the performance part of it, is going to often take care of it in a right way when it's been gone about in a way that we're preparing properly. And so I hope that as we think about this in light of an ordination and the preparing of that, of course, having been done hopefully for the most part already, coming to a time such as this evening, very important step in the life of an ordination, that tonight's results and the preparation that has gone into that, and helps us to realize again that I guess it brings on the seriousness of a work such as this. The ordination of a brother gives him a responsibility for the spiritual welfare of souls, and that that responsibility continues through life. And an ordained brother shares in the administration of the church. He will also affect the future welfare of the church, naturally. So all of this is another reason for properly preparing for this great work that lies before us. But we come tonight thinking about this part of preparing. Even Jesus himself, I believe, spent the night in prayer prior to the choosing of the 12. And if Jesus himself had to spend that time in prayer, how much more we as needy people who know so much the need of prayer come. And if not, we have not properly prepared. And we'll look at that a little more in the points for the sermon here. I see the first step as we think about properly preparing is recognizing the need. Now, you have already done that, and you have been heard from concerning that. And so that's one of the parts, one of the steps of preparing properly, recognizing the need. We think seriously about the work involved with with that, we constantly seek to better our work. We recognize the need. And again, some time ago, you as a congregation have spoken that you, through the council of the church, that you recognize the need for another brother to serve in the ministry here and for the office of deacon. Time like this, we come again just realizing so much the importance of the church. The church is of utmost importance. And the time that we put into preparation for things such as this is how could it be spent in a better way than preparing and giving this the thought and prayer and consideration that we should give? I'd like you to turn to Acts chapter 6. Using verses 1 through 4, and then nearing the end of the sermon, verses 5, 6, and 7. Looking at this, when the apostles were faced with a need, and there was preparing to do as well in relation to that need, and how they went about properly preparing for the chosen one. Verses 1 through 4 of Acts chapter 6. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, "It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." First two verses speak of recognizing the need as we're looking at this point. They realized the widows were being neglected. There was an important part of the carefulness of administration that was not being taken care of, that was realized. And the apostles also knew there was a need. No one was trying to get away from the part that, well, there really isn't a need here after all. But the need was felt, I believe, amongst them all. And everyone knew, the apostles among them knew that there was a need. The point was that already they had plenty to do in the teaching of the word, the word of God, and with work that could not be neglected, they realized the need of the necessary part of doing something about this. The only option seemed to be, as it is today when we recognize the need, choose more men. That was the word that they arrived at. And that means they recognized the need. It's a blessing to see the working out of that and how it was taken care of when the need was recognized. It's very unfortunate when the need is present, but the choosing is not is not done or the work cannot be gone ahead with because of maybe carnal behavior in the church, or maybe sometimes because brethren are not willing, there's not a willingness there to accept the responsibility that might be theirs when it comes down to that. And many would agree there, even while some of those things are going on, there is a need. But to stall that need because of carnal natures and so on is not really recognizing the need as well. And so it's I believe these verses serve us well in realizing that they recognize the need. They what did finally take care of it is to choose another man to take care of the one of the widows that were neglected and some of those needs, so that apostles could go ahead and teach as they needed to, and the church grew, the church was blessed as that took place. Tonight in this congregation, there is a need to get the work done properly. The work is here, and when the work is there, it's good that the work be done. So therefore, there is a need, and you have recognized the need. The work must, often for the work to get done properly, the work must be spread out to others, and that means another person to help. And this happens where there is a growing congregation. Where there is a growing congregation, there should be a growing ministry. In your congregation here at Pine Grove, other deacons have served well for you as a church here, but these brethren are becoming elderly. Brother Clayton and then brother the other brother that has moved away as well, and so these men have served well, but it comes to the time again when tonight there's a need because of circumstances that have taken place, and you have recognized the need. And I think that's so much a part of properly preparing and recognizing the need and then going from there. Verse 3 of this chapter, of Acts chapter 6, gives directions to us as to some procedure, how to go ahead, where it says, "Look ye out among you." And I think that's a very fitting part of procedure in men being chosen. "Look ye out among you." I believe as you've thought about the need, you've correctly thought about this aspect of the ordination. Look now it's time. If the need is there, then I need to start to think about looking out amongst us and thinking and praying what name will be given. And that's part of properly preparing as well. And it's also the benefit of choosing from among you. You know your brotherhood. You know the brethren that are here. And that gives you the advantage of knowing better the qualifications fitting the brethren that are here. And that's a blessing to know each other. That's part of a healthy church. And sometimes maybe one of the blessings of not being a really large church. We do know each other well, especially a church that isn't real large, and I'm not saying real large churches don't know each other, but I don't think they know each other as well, because there is that many more personalities there. Choosing out from among you. The God-ordained will also, as the person is called, as the person is ordained, he will also feel his shepherd's heart at work as he labors amongst those in his local brotherhood. And I think that's one of the other blessings that's coupled with choosing from among you. When the ordination has taken place, that brother will will have that burden upon his heart for the congregation and laboring amongst those who are from amongst us, from amongst you. I believe the ideal is a plural ministry in a congregation, probably maybe even in a larger congregation, even more than plural. But definitely plural is seems to serve us well. And I think it's important to realize, again, when we feel like like help is needed, that we do something about it so that the work is not spread too thin. And I remember a time in my life many years ago where that was the feeling I had at that point, young in the ministry and asked to serve in four congregations, and feeling like I was amongst them, and I knew, maybe didn't even know them by personal names, but I knew them in a way, but didn't know them, I think, like they should be known as one serves amongst them, and just the feeling of being spread too thin, I can relate to that. In fact, one of the sisters in one of these congregations, we did have our own home church that we of course went to as much as we could because of her children's age and so on. But in one of these other churches that we went to, tried to go to some other than councils and communions and things like that as well. But as we visited one of those churches one Sunday, a sister came to my wife after the service and said, "Is there a problem?" And that's the kind of thing I'm talking about being spread too thin and about not knowing those that we labor amongst, that if the bishop was there that morning, there must be a problem, they assumed, and that's not really a feeling a bishop enjoys. And I think I come back to saying that the plural ministry in any congregation is the ideal, not always possible, but the part of choosing out from among you as we need to. As we continue thinking about preparing for an ordination, also the second point I have is properly preparing in the in-between. And by that, the in-between is the time between recognizing the need, or when you first had that introduced to you, maybe the when you had counsel and so on, that time up to now, that in-between time. And that is very important. That's a very important time, as you have given that much thought, I'm sure. Kind of think of it again in a way. If brethren, if you have recognized the need for a new and an updated piece of equipment in your shop, you would likely be thinking about what to do to make preparation for that until it arrives. You may need to break out a wall for that piece to fit into your operation. You may need to have electrical specs changed because of the power of this machine that will require more electric or whatever enabling it to run. You may need to be ordering extra supplies because you're anticipating an increased volume in your production because of this machine you're looking forward to having. So here we are tonight with something more important than any machine. And I hope in some ways we see this as I gave those illustrations of that. As we think about moving ahead, as we think about progress in the church, you're looking forward to progress. We want to move ahead. We want progress. It's a part of life that is good. It's unfortunate to stalemate and to stay there. So you're looking forward to progress. That's one of the reasons you desire to have this ordination. You're looking forward to improvement. Not that there has been errors that have been out of place amongst the ones that are serving, but when there's more, when there's new brethren who are eager to serve, that brings with it improvement because there's more to help. And for these things you eagerly await as you prepare for this upcoming important happening. As it relates to an ordination, you also must be taking this seriously. Again, much more than a new piece of equipment. This is about progress in the church. This is about helpers in the body of Christ. This is about the brotherhood moving ahead. In Acts 6, the ones that were chosen were men who were full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. And we look for those, for that needful part of a person's life as much today, the Holy Ghost, and as the Holy Ghost is working in a person's life, that wisdom is given from the Spirit of God. And we look that direction as well as we think about men being chosen. It's really no different today as we think about who it should be, men full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. If there is a work so important as to have Holy Ghost results, there must also be Holy Ghost preparation. That means that everyone should be involved. Everyone should be properly preparing for this work. Probably the greatest, as I thought about preparation, probably the greatest preparation is prayer. Because regardless who we are in the brotherhood, that's one thing that we do. And sometimes it's people that are a bit more behind the scenes that are praying more diligently even than others. And so it's a part that everyone does and should do and will do as they have prepared properly for an ordination. It proves, as I think about prayer, as you think about how does it look to Christ? I think it looks to Christ as though He sees you are concerned about what's going on. It's one of the things that prayer proves to Him. You are concerned. You're concerned also to Christ, the head of the church. You are concerned about your brotherhood. And that proves that as you pray. In Acts 1:24, at the end of that chapter, or near the end, it tells us there as it relates to prayer. And they prayed and said, "Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen." And that certainly was not the first time they prayed. I think it was just a part of the procedure of the choosing was prayer. And once more, right up there till the end when someone was chosen, and they prayed. More specifically, they prayed, "Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these thou hast chosen." They were concerned with the outcome, and they showed that with the importance of prayer. I hope that we tonight see the importance of being in tune with the Holy Spirit. And that is done through prayer. It's going to be very difficult to be out of relationship with the Lord and not have the connection with Him, with the Holy Spirit, and yet be a person of prayer. The two just go together. The prayer will be hindered when there is a hindrance in our relationships otherwise. And so we pray, Lord, you know the hearts of each one. Lord, you know the heart of the one you already know who will be chosen. And we are thankful that the Lord still knows the hearts of all men. We do not. And it's so comforting to commit a work like this to Him at that point, knowing that He knows those things. So this in-between time we're talking about, the importance of it, what could cause us to be lacking in this in-between time, it probably could be, one could be a lack of commitment to the church, where we're just not in tune. We're not feeling the, maybe even the necessity or the involvement that needs to be there to have prepared properly for an ordination. Another could be that we figure we have the answer and we don't really need to spend a lot of time in preparation, in prayer, and so on for this because we know who we think this person should be. And so it's decided. That could also be a dangerous way to enter into preparing for a work such as this. And finally, we do believe we have direction to give a name oftentimes, and that's right. But not to prematurely move ahead with that to the one whom we think we know well enough and the one who we think will be ordained. Whenever we give a name in an ordination, it should be that we have given prior prayer and we have taken the work seriously. Then we are ready to present a name that has been laid upon our heart. Another aspect, as we think about prayer, is that I'm sure that the one that will be names possibly, and then finally the ordaining of one Sunday night, Lord willing, that this person and these persons up until then greatly desire your prayers. And so prayer life continues in the next days very much so. We realize that finally when the calling is taken care of, when a man has been called to this responsibility, that he also will need the Holy Ghost's direction as he serves. And so again, we're with the Holy Ghost direction on that part of things now after the fact. And I'm saying some of this to, again, emphasize the part of the Holy Spirit throughout the whole process and right on into the time that one serves. And as we serve the Lord, however, wherever that might be, we realize the power of the Holy Spirit. But I think also in the ministry and with responsibility, my ministering brethren can relate to so much needing the feeling of the power of the Holy Spirit. And I hesitate when I say feeling because feelings sometimes get people off track as it relates to Holy Spirit direction. But I think we know those blessed times that we've had as we've been led by the Holy Spirit and given direction, sweet and precious times. They are, no doubt. The more of the Holy Spirit involved in the choosing of a leader, the more the blessing and leading you will find in a Holy Spirit-fed leader. In other words, you put the diligence into an ordination, you will be blessed for that diligence that you have put into it. And even the brethren in charge of the ordination, before presenting the name of a brother, should ask the question, am I spirit-led? Making sure that I am not motivated by personal feelings or prejudice, just as everyone who gives a name should be careful of. Truly, we can say as we think about this part of properly preparing and being led by the Holy Spirit, I like so much to refer to the song that says, all is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. And then that holy manna, the blessing of that, can be showered all around as we go about this in the right way. May this also be a time, even in an age when people are asking, is ministry even necessary? As we think about an ordination, as we go as you go through one together in this, I think, I hope that part is strengthened in your minds. And we must realize, dear ones, that leadership is biblical. Leadership is needed. And we pray for our present leaders as they continue to serve. May it also be a time when we realize to spiritually grow through the process of choosing leaders. It's a time of growth. And it's true, you can only, as we say sometimes, you can only do so much. But then my encouragement is, do that much. As we think about the future of this ordination and the things that it, the things that are involved within it, it certainly is a large part of church life. It involves present generations and upcoming generations, and is very important. And the congregation, indeed, the congregation plays a very, very, very important role in finding their ministry. And I think that's a sacred privilege and responsibility for the congregation and for the brotherhood. Turning closing to Acts chapter 6 again, looking at verses 5, 6, and 7. So we left off at verse 4 a little while ago. You give yourselves continually prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostle, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. When these men were chosen, the word of God increased. Do you see the blessing? Do you see the results of moving ahead with more men being called into the ministry, if you please? The word of God increased, and part of the way that's proved, I guess, is by that the number of the disciples multiplied. And that's a blessing. What a blessing it is to think about that aspect that took place back then. We realize that the choosing of leaders has far-reaching effects, and that's why it's so important to give it serious thought. Many, many souls are involved. It's a great work. It's a great work because it's the Lord's work. And it's comforting to, I think, for all of us to come to a point like this and realize that we recognize that it is the Lord's work, but yet we want to go about it as helpers within the kingdom of Christ. And with the Lord's help, there will be proper performance. I hope that you can and will commit yourself to properly preparing for this great work. You already have. May God bless each of you in as you serve the Lord of your church and do your part tonight and throughout the years ahead. May the Lord bless you as we continue.